Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles or in the Pew Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. If you're using the Pew Bible, the Blue Pew Bible, it's page 876. Now, you may be aware of the fact that the reason we think about Thanksgiving at this time of year, well, it's just historically, in all cultures, I guess, harvest festivals, Thanksgiving to God, or for those who aren't Christians, to the gods, for harvests at the end of the year. But in our own nation, it actually is a legal holiday, declared so by Congress and signed by the President in the 1940s for the purpose of giving thanks to God. And I've included in the bulletin an insert, you may recall having seen it before, that speaks to the matter of a National Thanksgiving Day and what that really means, I think, for us, and how it should move us or prod us to pray even more earnestly for God to have mercy on our country. But if we're here because we know the living God through Jesus Christ and His saving work, then we have reason to give thanks to God that is not superficial. And that's what I want to address this morning. As we read about the 10 lepers and the one who returned to give glory to God. I'm going to read beginning at verse 11 of Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." I'll read two more verses. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." We will end the reading of the word of the Lord there. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks to you for your Son, our King, and for the kingdom which he brought with him from heaven, a kingdom of grace and salvation over which he now rules as the Savior of sinners. And in his name we pray that we might hear your words this morning with faith, with understanding, and that it would do its sanctifying work in the hearts of each one of us, that we would all give greater glory to you for all that you have done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this account, we read that our Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is going to Jerusalem, he knows, for the purpose of completing his mission on earth, which was to redeem sinners by offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. Luke 9:51 tells us that he set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And that's a heading for this whole section in Luke's Gospel from 9:51 through chapter 19, verse 28, when he enters into Jerusalem. That is where he is going. That is his purpose. And on his way, he comes to a village that is on the boundary between Galilee, which is made up, population-wise, made up largely of Gentiles and even more of Jews, and Samaria, an area where people live with whom the Jews do not get along. But there's this village right on the border. And who should be there to meet Jesus, but standing at a distance, but 10 lepers? Now, they were probably beggars, probably outside the village because they couldn't live in the village because of leprosy. And they beg. They're by the side of the road begging. And they greet Jesus with a prayer. They know who he is. And they pray, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Quite remarkable words. They realize that Jesus has the power to deliver them from their leprosy. They understand that that would be a mercy from God, not something that is owed to them. And when Jesus tells them, "Go to the priests," they believe his word. They head in the direction of Jerusalem, which is where the priests that Jesus has in mind are. The priests who, when they are restored, can testify to their restoration. And they are healed. As they go, they are healed. And we see here the great power of Jesus. The Son of God has power over disease, can heal in an instant. We also see the great compassion of Jesus. And these are people, these lepers, whom everybody else in the world shuns, maybe gives alms to. But Jesus has healing compassion upon them. He's the Savior we need. Now there's some obvious lessons here. One I'm going to pass over, and that is the fact that it was the Samaritan who gave thanks. And that was a lesson for the Jews and a foreshadowing of the gathering in of Gentiles. But we'll pass over that one. The obvious lesson is that we ought to give thanks to God for the blessings he gives us. Jesus healed 10 men. But only one came back to give glory to God and thank Jesus, falling at his feet in gratitude. Was Jesus pleased with the other 9? No, he was not. With regard to the other 9, he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" Now that's obviously a rebuke, isn't it? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? So our Lord is not pleased with the 9 who are happy to make their way, I guess, to Jerusalem to be received by the priest to recognize that they are cleansed, but don't bother to come to Jesus and give glory to God by thanking him. Well, this certainly instructs us, doesn't it, at a very superficial level, that we should always try to be aware of the blessings that God grants us, not one of which is deserved, all of which are mercies from God, given to us in spite of our sinfulness, that we should always try to be aware of the ways that God is blessing us, and we should respond with thanksgiving. In fact, we should seek to cultivate an attitude in our hearts of thankfulness. a default setting, if you will, that we pray for and should desire to have. It's just part of our outlook on life. Well, there's some verses at the foot of the sermon outline in the bulletin to help you think about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say for all circumstances, but give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or the responsive reading that we read this morning, Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord declare it. Those He has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the ends of the earth. I didn't include that verse. And many, many, many other passages of Scripture are calling upon saints of old and saints in the new dispensation to be thankful in our hearts and to be giving thanks at all times. Not just on a Thanksgiving Day. But now, let's focus in particular. What was the blessing in particular for which the leper was grateful and for which we ought to be grateful? The 10 men were cleansed. That's the word that's used more often. Healed is used once in the passage, but the other times, cleansed. The 10 lepers were cleansed of leprosy. And Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests. Now there's an explanation for this language and for that admonition. In the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, given to Israel, God singled out leprosy as a kind of visual aid, a kind of symbol. Those who had leprosy were regarded not simply as sick, as having a skin disease, but were regarded as unclean. And you can see the connection. It is a disease of the skin. It does look like something not clean. But the uncleanness here is uncleanness and disqualification to come into the presence of God in the tabernacle or the temple, and disqualification to be part of a fellowship of the people of Israel. Lepers had to remain outside the dwelling places of the people of Israel. They had to declare themselves, warn people. Now, Leviticus also, Leviticus 13 and 14, Leviticus also gives instructions for how lepers who are cleansed of their leprosy are to be restored to the fellowship of God's people and to acceptance in the presence of God. If a leper was cleansed, delivered from the disease, he would send himself to the priest with certain sacrifices. They would take note, examine him. A week later, he would come back, and if he was still clean, then more sacrifices offered, and the priest would declare him to be clean, and he would be readmitted to the fellowship of God and His people. So such people were ritually, we say ceremonially, unclean, and that's why these 10 lepers were outside the city, why they stood off at a distance as they greeted Jesus, and this is why He sent them to the priests in Jerusalem. How many times in the history of Israel had anybody gone to the priests in Jerusalem to say, look, I've been made clean? We know of one, and he was a Syrian general. So it's an amazing thing that has happened here, and it's not the only leper Jesus cleansed. And it's a testimony to the priests in Jerusalem that the Messiah has come. But leprosy, you see, was in the Old Testament a visual aid, a picture of how God regards sin. It's the disqualification of sin that's really in view here. And if we, you and I, if we saw ourselves as God sees us, apart from Christ, we would see ourselves as filthy and stinking and ugly in our sin. We would see our sin as foul stains that must be cleansed. Our sin in rebellion against God, our sins that we commit because of our rebellion against God, our sins separated us from God who is holy, of whom the prophet Habakkuk said, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil." That is, to tolerate the sight of evil in your presence. Habakkuk chapter 1. Jesus heals these lepers and other lepers in his ministry on earth. It's a sign that he came to make filthy sinners clean in God's sight. And he makes filthy sinners clean first by going to the cross, by taking on himself our vile sins, all of them, and taking on himself there the punishment our sins deserve, the full weight of the wrath of God against the filth of our sin. How could one man in 6 hours of suffering atone for the full weight, the full hideous, ugly weight of all the sins of all the people he came to save? Well, he is God. He is God. And those 6 hours of suffering were beyond what we can possibly imagine in their worth, in their awfulness for him, but also in the immensity of the worth of the price that he paid for us. That is the first way in which Jesus makes vile sinners clean, and we need that. Apart from Jesus Christ, no matter how good a person thinks he or she is, comparing themselves to others, in God's sight, even our best deeds, Isaiah says, are like filthy rags. And secondly, Jesus came to cleanse filthy sinners by sending the Holy Spirit. Sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts when we are dead and at war with God and hostile to him and have no interest in him, and pricking our consciences, piercing our pride, humbling us before him, showing us our sins, showing us the filth of our sins and our need to come to Jesus, and granting us the gift of faith to do so. New birth, made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, who does not then desert us, but who continues to live in those he has brought to Christ, that more and more we might be delivered, in fact, from the filthiness of our sins. We might turn away more and more from evil, repent more and more of the sins that we discover as we read the Word of God and measure ourselves in the light of it. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is cleansing us. The first is justification. Because Jesus died for our sins, all of his obedience, when we trust in him, is credited to us, and we are declared righteous by God as he forgives our sins. And the second is called sanctification, process of making sinners holy, cleaning us up from the inside out, changing our lives. This is the work of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So our Lord cleansed lepers in his earthly ministry as a sign that he came to cleanse sinners like us. So when you read in the Gospels about Jesus cleansing lepers, you should think about yourself. You should think about your sin. You should think about your need for Jesus to clean you. And not just once at the time of conversion, but day by day, because we're not made 100% clean right off, not inwardly right off. That's a lifelong process, a lifelong struggle. We are at war. Christian believers are at war, an internal war with sin that continues to dwell in us. It's a fight. And we always need to be coming to the Lord, to be coming to the Father through Jesus, saying, Father, wash me clean in the blood of Christ, your Son. I've committed these sins. Please forgive me and please help me by the Holy Spirit to change in this area of my life, to change this thing that I've been doing, to overcome this habit of word or habit of thought or whatever it may be. It's not something that we do just once. Well, give thanks. Give thanks. When Jesus makes you clean, you are restored to fellowship with the living God. When Jesus makes you clean, you may come into God's presence as a whole congregation are doing now, but you may also do in the privacy of your home, in your car, walking in the woods, whatever you're doing, your family gathering together. We may come into the presence of God to call upon Him, to pray, to talk to Him, to bear our hearts and our hearts' concerns to Him. And He doesn't look at us and say, you filthy sinners, be gone out of my sight. What He sees that we've been washed clean in the blood of Jesus and covered with the righteousness of Christ. And He hears our prayers as the prayers of children whom He has brought into His family and whom He loves. We've been restored to fellowship with God. We've been restored to fellowship with other sinners who are cleansed. The church. The church is not a gathering of righteous people to talk about how good we are. The church is a gathering of sinful people to give thanks together for the cleansing work of Christ and to encourage each other to be about the business of applying to Him for further cleansing day by day. We have nothing to be proud of. Christians should never be self-righteous. Christian believers should be humble before God and humble before each other about our sin. And thankful to Jesus. Thankful to Jesus for cleansing us. Now all 10 lepers should have come back to Jesus and given Him thanks, given glory to God and given thanks to Him. When we read this, we see that, we understand that all of us all the time, all of us who are trusting in Christ for His salvation should always be thanking Him. And so this leads us to the third point, that this is a mark of true faith. True faith keeps coming to Christ, full of thanksgiving for His salvation. The one leper who did come back, who gave glory to God and gave thanks to Jesus, by his thankfulness he showed that he had true faith in Christ. And our Lord draws attention to this. Jesus said that it was his faith that saved him. A lot of versions say, including the New American Standard that I read, and I don't remember the English Standard Press, made you well. Now, that could be the correct translation. The Greek word could go either way depending on context. But I think our Lord is saying more than that. The 9 lepers who went away, they had sufficient faith in Jesus. We can say belief that Jesus could do what they wanted Him to do. They had sufficient belief that they came to Him and asked Him. And when He told them what to do, they did it. And they were healed. But our Lord commends the faith of the one leper who gave glory to God and thanks to Him and said, it is your faith that has saved you. Now, it's Jesus who really saved him. But Jesus saved sinners in response to faith. Not only that, the Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit grant the grace to believe, to have faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Writing to Christian believers in Ephesus, Paul says, "For you were saved by grace." Then save yourselves. You were saved by grace through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works. So no one will boast. How thankful should we be if we have saving faith? The very faith by which we laid hold of the promises of God, by which we came to Jesus and trusted in Him, even that is God's gift and the fruit of God's Spirit working in us. The man who came back did not go to the priest to be restored outwardly, ritually. Now, maybe later he did. But at least to begin with, he can't help himself. He wants to come to Jesus to give Him thanks. And that speaks an enthusiasm in his heart. An enthusiasm generated by faith that understands where his healing came from. And that it really was mercy from God and from the hand of Jesus. True faith comes to Jesus. True faith comes to Jesus and would rather have Him than all merely outward blessings, including even the blessing of good health. Do you believe and look to Jesus for good things you hope He will give you? Well, there's nothing wrong with that as far as it goes. We may bring all manner of things to God through Christ in our prayers. But more than that, do you believe and trust in Him to be your Savior from the filth and defilement of your sins? Do you see that need? And do you trust Jesus for it? Do you believe and trust in Jesus to be the Lord of your life? So that with the grace, the Spirit that He gives, you might go on and begin to clean up your life from the sins that are defiling. And do you want, with all your heart, to be a thankful person? Because whatever Jesus has given or hasn't given, whatever God has given or hasn't given, you have good health, you don't have good health. You're doing okay financially, you're in a terrible situation financially. Your family's in great shape, you're distressed over your family. All kinds of things in this world that may be blessings we desire and receive or blessings that we desire and haven't received. But beneath them all, above them all, around them all, is your heart desire to give thanks to God for the cleansing work of Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness to the children of men. Let the redeemed of the Lord declare it. And those He has delivered from the hand of the enemy and gathered to Himself from all the nations of the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You. We pray that we may not only be bowing our heads, but our hearts as well in true humility. To see, really see, to acknowledge what often we don't want to see and avoid acknowledging, and that is the real filth, the real hideousness of our sins against You. Concerning some of which we say, oh, that's just a little thing. Or concerning others we say, well, everybody does it. Or I had this reason, but all of these are empty excuses and cannot make us right in Your eyes. We thank You for Jesus Christ, Your Son. We thank you that you came into this world to make filthy sinners clean, clean in your sight, and to begin a process of cleaning us from the inside out. And so we pray, O Lord, that each of us may have that faith in Christ that will not allow us to become proud and self-righteous, but will move us to overflow with thanksgiving to you and an earnest desire to grow in Christ and become more like him. Grant these mercies to us, O Lord, and grant that this week, as we think about thanksgiving to you, our hearts really would overflow with thanksgiving, no matter what the outward condition of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.